Amen. All right. Hey, church, when I was younger as a kid, I had a few different ideas as to what I wanted to be when I grew up. Anybody else have that? Anybody? This is what I wanted. Three of you, okay? Now I see what happened to everybody, okay? All right, but I did. I had what I wanted to be when I wanted to grow up. Maybe for you, you wanted to be a ball player, a movie star, maybe a million other things that we wanted to be one day, but we weren't those things yet. Are you with me? We wanted to be those things one day, but we weren't them yet. For me, at different stages of my childhood and my teenage years, there were three things that I wanted to be. Three things that I wanted to be. I wanted to play baseball. I wanted to play baseball professionally. I loved it. I played it. I was pretty good at it. There were things that I knew that I needed to accomplish if I wanted to reach and earn that goal. But as you can tell, I'm not a professional baseball player, right? All right? I know you guys are surprised. When I was in high school, at the end of my junior year, the Vail School District does this really well. They have you walk through this deal of preparing what you want to do in life. But for me, we got thrown into a room. The counselor sat there and said, "So, when you're done here, you got a year left, what are you going to do with your life?" Appreciate the help, right? When you're done with high school, what career do you see yourself pursuing? It was another one of those what do you want to be questions, right? You're not there yet, but what do you want to be? And my answer at that point was this. I said, you know, I really want to, I was kind of figuring out, man, I was a good ball player, but I figured out I probably wasn't going to be like the next Derek Jeter or something, you know? And so my answer at that point was a police officer. My friend Karen might be proud of that today. I'm so glad you guys are here. I've known these people like for a very long time, and I'm super glad they're here. You guys are traveling, so man, go Chiefs, and make sure you guys like love on them. But I'm super glad that you're here. They've always been an encouragement to me. But I want to be a police officer, and I knew that if I wanted to be a police officer, there are steps that I had to take, right? Things that I needed to do to accomplish it before I became a police officer. Before I could be a police officer, there were steps that I needed to take. But as you could tell, unless I'm undercover, right, I'm not a police officer. At one point in my life, keep the chuckles down, all right? I want to be president of the United States. Amen, right? Okay, I got no votes. Okay, right? Well, we just took that poll. We're good, right? I didn't tell many people about this, but here's the reality. I knew what year I wanted to run, and I won't tell you it was 2020, right? But, like, I knew that I had to be a certain age. I knew, you know, certain things, and I knew, man, I'm going to be getting involved in local and then state and then federal. That's what I was going to do. I had a path laid out. I had a 2020... I just told you. I had a 2020 slogan. I had everything, church. I was ready to go. I think I'd make a pretty good president. You know, I'm just saying, man. But I knew I wasn't president, but I knew. Can you guys just give me like a fake amen? Yeah, I thought I'd be a good president. No. Okay. Right. But I knew the steps that I would have to take, right? And I was ready to go for that. I'll tell you what, knowing what these presidents, I don't care what party line you're on. I don't want to be president, man. Those guys face some hard decisions each and every day. But I'm not president, or I was not president at those point. I was not a police officer. I was not a professional baseball player. But earlier in my life, I desired to have those things as part of my identity. That's who I wanted to be. I wanted to be a ball player. I wanted to be president. I wanted to be a police officer. And often we work hard to achieve those things in our life, right? But what we're going to talk about today is this. We don't have to look forward to the day. We don't have to desire what we're going to talk about today. In all honesty, this isn't anything we can earn. This isn't anything that we deserve. Are you with me? This isn't a path that we could take. There's not a formula to get what we're talking about. But here's an encouraging word for us this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you're saved, then what we're going to look at today, you already have. You already are these things. What Paul is about to tell us this morning, we don't have to sit back and say, man, what Pastor Jeff is preaching on, I hope one day that I have that. Right? I desire to be that one day. What steps do I need to take to get there? We see a lot of that with religion, don't we? What steps do I need to take to get there? Well, here's the reality. The Bible doesn't tell us any of that. Paul is about to tell you who you already are. If you know Jesus, if you're saved, he's going to say, this is who we already are. And if you're not saved, this is who you could be. Right? And that's what we're going to look at today. Who we are when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Not who we want to be or wish to be, but who you are right now. I think sometimes we walk in here and we wear these name tags. Maybe you say, man, I'm shameful, or I'm shy, or I'm this, or I'm carrying this weight. And we have all these things that give us these identity. Let me tell you who you are in Christ today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn there. I'm going to give us a little bit more introduction, but Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. And I'm going to tell you what, church, there are a lot of things going on in our world right now, a lot of things that don't make sense. But this morning, we get to come to God's Word and listen to the absolute truth and what God has to say about us. Last week, we looked at the reality. This is part two. Last week, we looked at who we are because of Jesus and what He did for you and me on the cross. And so if you've trusted Jesus to save you, then the Bible tells you this, that in Christ, we are chosen. We're chosen. The Bible also says that we are adopted. We're adopted. God saw us. He saw our condition. He saw our sin. And here's the cool part. Just think about, well, you probably don't want to, but just think about that sin in your life. And God saw it, and He still desired you. He still pursued you. He still died on the cross for you. He still wants a relationship with you. And not only so He chose us, and not only were we chosen, but the Bible says that we are adopted. God says, you are mine, right? This isn't just a ticket into heaven. This isn't just so you get to hang around and play kickball with the angels. This is so you get to be a part of the family of God, right? You get the benefits of being my family. And so this is who you are right now. If you know Jesus, you are chosen and adopted. We can't dive into all of what we did last week, but you can listen to that sermon on our podcast or online. But Paul writes in verse 3, he says, we should praise and worship God because of the spiritual blessings we receive through Christ. When we look at what God gives us, especially in who He makes us, it should lead us to worship Him. Amen, church? These blessings, let me be really clear, there's not a person in here that deserves them. Right? There's nobody that took steps to earn them. When we least deserve these blessings, God says, if you know Jesus and are saved, then these spiritual blessings are yours, given to us by our gracious God. And the first two, as we just saw, was that we were blessed by being chosen and adopted. And we're going to see some more this morning of these blessings of who we are. And so could you guys join me by standing and follow along as I read God's Word? We just want to honor God and His Word as we read this morning. Honor God and read His Word together. So you guys follow along as I read this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heavens, in the heavens and on the earth. Father, we again come to You with hearts that just say, teach us this morning. Help us be more like You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thought about making you stand the whole time, but you guys would have sat down anyways. Man, we're going to walk through these four verses. That's what we're doing as a church. If you're new with us today, man, we're walking through verse by verse by verse through the book of Ephesians to see what God has for us as a church family and as individuals. But when we look through these four verses, our hope is that we're going to see three realities, three truths about who you are. Not things you have to earn, but if you know Christ, this is who you are. So let's not lose sight of the phrases and things that we see in verses 1 through 10. We see phrases like this, from our Lord Jesus Christ, or in Christ, or through Jesus Christ Himself. And so I repeat that because it's important to know that without Christ, we don't have these things. Right? We haven't dove into them yet. You're like, get to the point. Where are we getting to? But we do not have these things. We are not these things without Jesus. And here's what that means. Throughout the Word of God, we see how our hearts and our lives are described outside of knowing Jesus as Lord. So here's what we're going to do. Before we see who we are, we're going to look at who we are without Christ. Don't throw anything at me. This is what the Bible says, so you can't throw anything at me for it. But this is who we were before we know Jesus. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the heart, your heart, my heart, is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? It's more deceitful than anything else and it's incurable. There's nothing you or I or any system in this world could do to fix us. Mark 7:21 through 22, Jesus says this about our hearts and our lives apart from God. He says, for from within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. And we see other places in Scripture talking about who we are in Christ, that we are dead in our sins, right? That we are far from God, eternally separated from God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't bring this up to be a Debbie Downer. I feel really bad for Debbie because she's described as a downer, but you know what I mean, church? I mean, it's like, we have to know, before we can know how big this news is for us, we have to know how bad it was, right? So not to be a downer this morning, but I bring this up to show the goodness of God, to show us how awesome God is. Because those verses that I read, that is who we are, right? That's who you are before Jesus came to save us. And when we believe in Jesus and call on Him to save us and trust in Him and follow in Him as Lord, then we have a whole new reality, church, right? The Bible says that because of Jesus, we are made new. He doesn't just fix us. He doesn't make us prettier. Sorry, Sam, you're in the spit zone right there, right? But He doesn't just make us prettier. He makes us new, church. Are you with me? So what we're gonna cover today, we got to know this. We didn't earn it. We didn't achieve it. We didn't work hard for it. We are who we are because of Jesus. And if you're here today, let me just lay this out here, man. If you don't know Jesus, if you're not a Christian, you're not a follower of Jesus, man, the Bible says that Jesus has a desire for you to be saved, right? He wants this for you, to turn to Him and believe in Him. And so here we go. We already know that through Christ we're chosen and we're adopted. Here's three more realities of who we are if you know Christ. The first one is this: we are redeemed. We are redeemed, man. Church, he writes in verse 7, it says, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. Now, that might not mean anything to you unless you know what the word redemption means, right? Does anybody know what the word redemption means? And we're going to talk about it a little bit, but you might be like, who cares? What's redemption? This is a word that we sing about. This is a word that we talk about in church. You even hear about it in our judicial system sometimes. But what is redemption? Redemption is this. It is deliverance by payment of price. Often used to describe a releasing by payment of ransom. One is delivered by payment of price. So let's kind of zoom into their culture here for a little bit, because we don't really identify with this, praise God, in our culture right now. But in their culture in Ephesus, this would have been something they were very familiar with, is this word redeemed. In the culture they lived in, slavery was very prominent, very prominent. In the Roman Empire at this time, it is believed, historians will say, that the Roman Empire had up to 6 million people in slavery at this time. Think about that number, 6 million people in slavery. They were either slaves to people that owned them, right? Or they were slaves to Rome itself. But here's the thing. If you were a slave at that time, there could be good news for you, right? If you wanted to, if there was someone that wanted to buy your freedom, if you wanted to go and buy someone's freedom, if you wanted to see them released from bondage or freed from slavery, then you could pay a price for them, right? You could go and pay a very heavy price for them. This would, it would take a wealthy person or a collection of people, right, that could afford the price of freedom for another. This was not a cheap transaction. There was no half-price sales, church. Man, this was legitimately a very heavy price. But for the person in bondage, for the person in slavery, this is good news, because if someone was able and willing, then they could be free. It's hard for us to understand that. Go back so many years in our culture and think about people that were in slavery. Go back into other places in time when people were in slavery and think about what it would have been like to be in that bondage and to have someone come and say, man, I'm going to pay for that, for you to be free. Not for you to be mine, but for you to be free. They would be redeemed. That's what that word means, to be redeemed. They would be delivered from bondage and slavery when that price was paid. And so you might be asking, what in the world does that have to do with us this morning? Right? I'm not in bondage. This is the United States of America. We celebrate our freedom here, right? But the truth is, we talked about this last week, without Christ, without Him, we are in bondage. We are in bondage. We are slaves to our sin, right? And you might think, man, what do you mean I'm slave to my sin? I choose what I want to do. I know when I'm doing right or wrong. So let's see what Jesus has to say about it. In John chapter 8, there's a group of Jewish people. Keep in mind, the Jewish people had a heritage of people that were in slavery for a very long time, right? And they're having this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus basically tells them, if you follow me and you know the truth, then you will be free. And so they're a bit confused at that point, so they ask Jesus in verse 33. They said, hey, man, we have never been enslaved to anyone, right? Our ancestors had, but we've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say that we're going to become free? And Jesus says a truth that they needed to hear and that we need to hear this morning. He says in verse 34, Jesus responded, "Truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin." You can put your name in there. Jeff, who commits sin, is a slave. Are you with me, church? Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. There's no way to get around that. Right? And then he says, here's really good news. If the Son sets you free, Jesus sets you free, then you are free indeed. Jesus wasn't talking about physical slavery, as bad as that was. He was talking about something much worse than that. He was talking about spiritual and eternal slavery to sin. And the Bible tells us that all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Each and every one of us have sin in our lives. And so Jesus says, because you've sinned, you are slaves to sin. That's tough to think about, isn't it? Man, that's tough to think about. You are slaves to sin. And I don't know about you, but I'm beginning to think that sin isn't such a fun and good idea anymore. Amen, right? It might seem fun and freeing at that time, but the consequences for our choices are really horrifying. Things like this, we're separated from the one that made us. Spiritually and eternally dead, unclean, bound for a real place called hell, a slave to sin. Sin appears here to be our owner, right, without Christ. So we might think, man, all right, that's fine. I've got money. I've got resources. Hey, man, I'll just sit down with God and we'll work this thing out, right? I'm really good with charts. I'll do a pros and cons charts. Here's my good, here's my bad. When I get up there, I'll just chill out with him at the pearly gates and we'll talk about it. Say, hey, Jesus, look, I know you're saying I shouldn't come in right now. And I'm having a little fun with this, but I think the majority of Americans believe this, that if your good outweighs your bad, you will enter into the gates of heaven. And church, I'm telling you, that's a lie from hell. That's a lie from hell. There is no good that we could ever do to earn that. Right? We can't just sit down and work it out with God, man. So then you're like, okay, well, how much does it cost, man? I've got money. How much does it cost for my freedom from sin? And to answer this, we look at a verse called Romans chapter 3, and it says, for the wages of sin is death. Sin is not cheap. Sin is not small. Sin comes with a great price. And so what do? We feel bad about it. We try to cheapen it, right? By giving it a different title. Man, that's just a little white lie. That wasn't a big deal. That wasn't a big sin. Man, that guy over there had a really big sin. Mine wasn't a big one. Any sin. John MacArthur says this, sin is man's captor and slave owner. And it, sin, demands a price for release. Church, death is the price that has had to be paid for man's redemption, for them free from sin. The price to be paid for us to be released from the captivity of sin isn't cheap. But if the Son, if Jesus pays that price, right, he then sets you free and you are free indeed. Verse 7 says that in him, in Jesus, we have redemption in his blood. Meaning this, God's love for us is so much that he paid that price. When we least deserved it, there was no way we could earn it. He buys you and me out of slavery. He pays that price. And it was our sin. It wasn't his sin. The Bible says that in him we have redemption through his blood. So what does that mean? What did Jesus do? Think about this. Think about this personally for you. 1 Peter 2:24 says this. He himself, Jesus, bore your sins and my sins, our sins, in his body on the tree. On the cross, so that having died to sins, we might live for righteousness. Man, these are good words. By his wounds, you've been healed. Jesus took our sin and your sin and my sin, and he bore those and he took them to the cross and he shed his blood so that you and I could be freed from the slavery of sin. Man, it's so good to study these passages before we preach them, because I'm really preaching to myself before. And I'm going to tell you, man, when I read that verse as I was typing that out, man, my heart was broken. What I did sent him to the cross. Can you guys just let that sit with you for a second? Mark 10:45 tells us this, this is why Jesus came. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. That word for is an important word. It actually in the Greek means in place of. So he came to give his life as a ransom in place of many. He came to pay the price that you and I couldn't pay. And now we are redeemed. We are released from the bondage of sin if we're followers of Jesus. And today, here's the thing. If you know Jesus, we're still going to sin. Amen? Just ask my wife. She'll help you out with that one. She'll let you know about me, right? Hopefully not too many details, right? But I mean, that's the thing, church, man. If we know Jesus, we're still sinning. We still mess up. But that bondage, that slavery to sin is gone. Praise God for that. Man, sin no longer has a grip on you like it did. It doesn't own you. It doesn't own you because Jesus shed his blood for you. And when you follow Jesus, he sets you free forever. And so if you know Jesus, if you are saved, I'm not saying if you're religious. I'm not saying did you bring your King James Bible today. I'm not saying if you have so much of the Pentateuch memorized. I'm not saying any of those things. Pentateuch is the first five books of the Bible. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm saying if you know Jesus and you are saved, then the Bible says you are redeemed. That's how it works, church, right? And if you're here today and church is new to you, right, or this information is new to you, you might walk in and, man, you might listen to the music that we sing or you might listen to it on K-Love or whatever it is and you hear us talking and singing about the blood of Jesus and you're like, man, that's kind of messed up. Why are we singing happy songs about the shed blood of Jesus? That's messed up. Man, there's an old song to these words that I just love. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Man, so good. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Think about your sin and how dirty it makes you. And his blood makes you white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing, we celebrate, we rejoice. We come here today because his blood shed for you and me. And he paid our price when he bled and died for you and me on that cross. Praise God. Amen. Church, man, Jesus, God with us, the sinless, perfect one, died in our place. And so we praise God. We worship him because of who he is and what he's done for us. When we deserve nothing, he blessed us and he gave us our identity and he makes us free. We're chosen, we're adopted, we're redeemed, set free, he paid the price, right? And third is this, if you know Jesus as Lord, wow, this next phrase, I typed it like this and then when I was done, I just loosened my shoulders. We're forgiven. Man, we are forgiven. That is who you are. If you know Jesus, you are forgiven. Amen, church? Man, that's good. Jesus says, or the Bible says in verse 7, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Man, so for some of us in here, maybe every single one of us, it's refreshing to hear those words that you are forgiven. If you know Jesus, man, just hear that this morning. You are forgiven. That is who we are if we know Jesus. Man, there may be something in your life that you're carrying. There may be a decision that you made yesterday or years before and you've been carrying it the entire time. Man, a sin that is so heavy and you don't think that you could ever be forgiven of that sin. Man, I've talked with so many people that carry that weight. And I hear things like this. Man, this person won't forgive me. My mom, my brother, my spouse, my kids, no one forgive me. Why would God forgive me? But here's the good news. Whether we're forgiven by a person or not, God's forgiveness is much bigger than any one person could ever forgive us. I think there's something we experience. We either experience or we do it ourselves. These words, I forgive you, are spoken. Right? We say these words, I forgive you. But you know that you're just taking that word, I forgive you, and you're just going to put it in your back pocket so you can use it on them later. Right? Come on now. Am I alone here, right? Are you with me, church, right? Or maybe someone has said, hey, I forgive you, but you know they're just filing that away to use it on you later. Husband and wife, knock that off, man. Are you with me? Man, we do that. Man, I don't care, Sam. I'm just going to preach to myself this morning, man. Come on now, church. The forgiveness from God is much bigger than that. True forgiveness comes from him and only him. Mark 2:5, I love this about Jesus. A paralytic man is brought to Jesus, and Jesus himself tells this man, son, your sins are forgiven. And these religious leaders, they get all you know, angry and stuff, and they're saying, man, how can you forgive sins? Only God can truly forgive sins. Praise God, He is God. Amen. Jesus is God. He is God with us, and He came to redeem and to forgive us of our sins. Being redeemed and that freedom and that forgiveness go together when we have Jesus. This isn't up on the screen, but if you want to write this verse down, Micah 7:18-19. Micah 7:18-19 just tells us a little bit more about how God forgives. Listen to what Micah writes. I'm just going to tell you this. You guys can look that up later. He tells us that God pardons the guilt, overlooking the sin of His special people. It says He will not stay angry forever. It says He delights in showing unfailing love. It says that He has compassion on us. It says this, hear this out, church. He tramples our sins under His feet and throws them into the depths of the ocean. Now, church, that's forgiveness, right? God doesn't take that sin, right, and put it back in His back pocket ready to use it on you again. Man, once forgiven, He doesn't just take it and put it on the beach where He can bury it just so He can find it a little bit later. The Bible says that He throws it into the depths of the ocean. Man, you know your sins. We know our sins. We know what we're capable of. We've seen some big sins, right? But through Christ, we don't have to be chained and enslaved to those sins. We can be forgiven because of Jesus Christ. When we realize that Jesus has forgiven our sins in this way and calls us to be forgiven, church, let me tell you this. That should cause us to pour our hearts out into praise and adoration to Him. There's no other response. There's no other response when we know that He paid the price and He forgave us of what we did. There's no other response than to praise and worship and to sing out in adoration to Him. Psalm 133:3-4 says this, Lord, if You kept a record of our sins, if You kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But You offer forgiveness. It's a good word, man. We are redeemed and we are forgiven. If you know Jesus and have been saved, you are freed from the slavery of sin and you're forgiven. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, that's what you get with Jesus. And so Paul continues. He says, you're redeemed and you're forgiven according to the riches of His grace, which He lavishes on us. Right? Most of you guys know the song Amazing Grace, right? Sometimes we don't even know what we're singing when we do this. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, because of Jesus, we are chosen, we're adopted into the family of God, we're redeemed, He paid the price to set us free, we are forgiven because of His amazing grace. Church, through Christ, we have been given grace. The Bible says we have freedom and forgiveness according to the riches of His grace. Here's the thing, it's hard for us to understand what he's saying here. You and I, we have tanks that get emptied out sometimes, right? You're like, I just can't serve anymore. I can't love you anymore. I can't forgive you anymore. I can't do this for you anymore. Anybody ever been there? Man, you just have somebody like, I just can't do that anymore. But God's grace tank is never ending. It's never dry, church. Amen? Right, when we deserve nothing, He was gracious. We're the recipients of His extravagant goodness and kindness. So we write songs about it. We preach about it. But the words that come out of our mouth could never truly describe His amazing grace. When He says that He lavishes His grace on us, here's what that word lavish means. It means to be in abundance, to overflow. At our home, the kiddos love pancakes and waffles. Anybody love pancakes and waffles in here? Okay, here's the thing. On waffles, I just have to know. Do you just slather that thing in there, or do you have to put them in each little hole? I need to know. Here's a vote. Who puts them in each hole? All right, you guys are godly people. Who just slathers it on there, man? Oh, well, okay, I can't say you're not godly people. That wouldn't be good. Man, but where am I at, right? Okay, so, but my wife and I, when we give our kids pancakes and waffles, man, we put the syrup on, amen, right? We put the syrup on those and the butter on those things, man. Why? Because if we handed that syrup, especially to the boys, they would lavish that syrup all over the thing. It would be in abundance and overflowing. But when it comes to us, when it comes to what we really deserve, we don't deserve God's grace at all. We don't deserve to be chosen, adopted, redeemed, and forgiven. But God's grace, the never-ending grace, it just overflows. It's in abundance. That's good news, amen? Man, that grace, when you never deserved it, God just grabs that grace syrup, right? And he just lavishes it on there. We got to do this. You ready? I mean, this is me. Like, I'm going to kind of put it in there and then I'm good, right? No, Jesus is just like, all right, man, let's just do this, buddy. Let's just do this, right? Are you with me? Sam, get ready to clean it up. Ready? Get your hand over here. Put your mouth under it, man. Are you with me, church? Like, he just keeps going. You're like, God, I don't deserve it anymore. He's like, hey, baby, it's keep coming. Are you with me, church? That's lavishing his grace on us. Who wants to eat that? That's really gross. Abundance. That's his grace. He covers every hole, and then he just slathers that sucker on there. Preach it, man. This is good. Man, if you know Jesus, you've been given grace. Even you, Emily, making fun of the preacher back there, you know. And it isn't over yet. The goodness of God just keeps coming. We're set free. We're forgiven. He's pouring his grace out lavishly, right? And then verse 8, in all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is the summing up of all the things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. There's a lot packed in there, but in short, this is what that means for you and me. In Christ, we've been given wisdom and understanding. When we follow Christ, when we are saved, God graciously, what we don't deserve, gives us wisdom. Wisdom that you and I never had, right? He gives us the eyes to see the bigger picture, a picture we couldn't see before, right? The wisdom on how to live in light of his big picture, in light of his plan, right? We just read about him making known to us the mystery of his will. He is revealing to us his eternal plan, church, right? And we're seeing that this plan is all centered around Jesus, right? And what is this plan? Paul tells us it's to unite all things in Christ. He says the things in heaven and on earth. All things one day will be restored and made new in Christ. And that's good news today. That's good news today. Man, there's not a political party. Are you with me, church? There's not money. There's not a job. There's not sex. There's not porn. There's not any of those things that are going to make things right. It's Jesus. In the fullness of time, the whole universe and his church will be unified under Christ, and he's the head of it all. But the picture here is this. God graciously shows us his will and his plan, and we begin to see the world and our lives and our actions and eternity through his eyes. Why are you guys so quiet this morning? I'm going to throw some syrup at you. Because of Christ, we begin to see the future and eternity through his perspective, through his eyes. What a difference it makes. Think about this. What a difference it makes in your life and how we live and what we aim for when we begin to see the world through the eyes of Jesus. Church, we were lost and rejected. Not only last to be picked on the kickball team, but never chosen. But in Christ, we're chosen. We were orphaned, church, and far from God. But through Christ, we are adopted into the family of God. We were in bondage and slave to sin because of the sin in our life. And Jesus saw that sin. He knew the cost of that freedom. He knew it. He knew what it would take for you and me to be free from sin and from the penalty of our sin. And through Christ, we are redeemed, church. Man, he paid our price for our sin when he shed his blood on the cross. And how sweet it is to hear that through Christ, we are forgiven. He sees that sin, a sin that was against him, church. We got to understand that. When we sin, that doesn't hurt anybody. Nobody else knows about it. It was in the pride. Man, you sinned against a holy God. You sinned against a holy God. And you know what he says? He says, I forgive you. That's good news. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But he says, in me, you're forgiven. And that's how good he is, because of Christ, not because of anything we've done, but because of Jesus. He's gracious. He forgives us. He's gracious. He gives us wisdom and understanding. And that's who you are. If you know Jesus, you are redeemed. You are forgiven. Jesus calls each of us personally to follow him, to turn to him, to believe in him. I don't hear him say in Scripture, earn me, say this many prayers, do this many things, like, right, try real hard. He says, turn to me and believe in me. That's what he says. Religion's kind of muddled this thing up, hasn't it? Amen. Let's just say it. It's made it messed up, man. Jesus says, turn from your sin, turn from the world, turn from you, and turn to me. Believe in me, receive me, trust me, confess me as Lord. It's not about us. It's about him. We can't earn it. And what is so scary is we've got people that are going to die and thinking, man, I think my sin was outweighed by my good, and they're going to go spend eternity in hell. Man, we got to take this seriously. But in Jesus, man, we are redeemed and we are forgiven. And he says, come and follow me. Church, if you're saved today, maybe this is everybody in here, but maybe it's not. Man, if you are saved, that's who you are. You are redeemed. Jesus paid your price and he forgave your sin. And church, if we leave out of here doing anything different than praising and worshiping God, we've missed it. We've missed it. If you don't know Jesus, I want to be very clear this morning. Don't look away. Don't get distracted. Don't play with your phones. Don't, if you're playing at your phone, I didn't see anybody. I'm just saying, don't do any of that stuff. Just look at me. You're good. You're good. Bible. Yeah, your Bible. I saw it right when I turned over to you. You're forgiven. All right. I don't even know. Church, if you don't know Jesus, Jesus came because you needed him. Not to be a crutch to make it through a hard life. Not to be some kind of big guy in the sky waiting to strike you down. Man, Jesus came because he sees you and he loves you. And he wants you. He wants you. He came so that, and he bled on the cross and took your suffering and he died your death because he wants you. And he wants to be able to say, hey, I freed you from the bondage of sin. I rescued you out of slavery. I paid the price and I want to call you forgiven. Don't miss this if you don't know Jesus this morning. Jesus says, follow me. Turn from everything else and turn to me and confess me as Lord. Will you turn to Jesus today? I've got a dear friend in Tennessee that's laying on a bed right now, fighting against cancer. You know what she says? She says, I'm at peace because I know Jesus. And she said, you know what? Everybody's been praying for healing. But I'm going to be healed, whether it's here or there. She says, let this, what I'm going through right now, turn you to Jesus. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Young people, we don't know what tomorrow holds. Jesus does. And he came a long time ago knowing where you are right now. Says, just follow me. Give me your life. Let's pray.